Well, we're going to talk about understanding speaking in tongues. I'll follow this up in an hour with understanding the gift of prophecy. But this morning, for our first session, we're going to talk about understanding speaking in tongues. And there's a reason we do that. God still manifests himself through this gift today, right? I mean, we are not of those who believe the gifts ended with the writing of the Bible. We believe you can be spirit baptized and enjoy this magnificent gift of speaking in tongues. Secondly, having the mind of Christ enables us to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, to understand his ways. That was Moses' prayer. And the revelation of the Spirit is what gives us the ability to be able to figure this thing out. Because believe me, how many of you know tongues is a mystery? Yeah, it leaves you with a lot of questions. The last two issues are practical. To clarify whether I move my mouth to speak in tongues or God does it, I've been teaching this for 35 years, and some people, I think they kind of have that old Victrola, remember the old record player with the big, and you got to wind it up, and they kind of think that's what's going to happen to them, and so we'll talk about that. And then speaking in tongues is not babbling, but it is babbling meaningless sounds, but it's actually praying and praising in actual languages, and so you are delighting in something God created. Now, whether when we talk about speaking in tongues, whether we're talking about the meaning of the tongues or the actual speaking, it's made up of three parts. And I'll break this down a little later, but I want to introduce it. First off, there's the supernatural part. When we talk about the supernatural, we're talking either about demon possession or spirit baptism where God fills us. We don't believe demons fill Christians, so obviously we're talking about God filling us. And we believe that this whole thing comes from him. That's what Scripture declares. Being baptized in the Spirit comes from God, so it's supernatural. It is also something called supra-rational. In other words, my mind, left to itself, cannot figure this out. Either by rationalization or intuition, observation, even experience, there's a limit because of the fall, okay, in Genesis. And then thirdly, one part is natural, and that's the speaking. God's already given us this ability to speak. So we'll talk about that more later. Because this is such a unique spiritual wonder, a lot of people don't look at it beyond the experience. Oh, hallelujah, I was baptized in the Spirit, I speak in tongues. Okay, let's move on. But I have been enamored of this for years and just love to delve into this. So we're going to look into it a little deeper because I believe if you have a mind, the mind of Christ, you're able to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, what is speaking in tongues? So, there's some blanks here. You can fill them in. First off, it's the Holy Spirit-enabled ability to speak new languages, which are either human or angelic. Each language is foreign to me, and its meaning a mystery. Speaking in tongues engages my spirit in new levels of prayer and praise. So all these words come from these selections down here from the NIV. And so we're enabled to speak new languages. Doesn't come from us. That are human or angelic. 1 Corinthians 13:1, right? If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, each language is foreign to me, Paul says, and its meaning a mystery. 1 Corinthians 14:2. And it engages my spirit. It's very important we understand this is a spiritual experience and that God has designed it for our well-being. Now, tongues, whether we talk about it in the book of Acts or we talk about it in 1 Corinthians, is a part of the broader family of language. That's we're talking about language, okay? So whether it's human, angelic, I didn't have any angelic language before I became a Christian. Some people question whether I have any now. But the reality is most of us are in this world of, you know, earthen vessels. But all language has a couple things in common. Number one is sound. You're hearing me emit sounds. Secondly, meaning. So the ideas we attach to the sounds that form words. And then, of course, structure. How we structure language. And how we do that in one country is different. I've had 3 years of Greek. I grew up in a Greek home. How they structure sentences is completely different than how we do it in English. And, you know, that's not even Hebrew, which is a mess because you're reading it backwards. So, you know, we're not going there. But it's the same when we speak in tongues, but it's different because it's foreign to us. Now, if we speak the tongues of men, it may not be foreign to other people. I've been in northern Minnesota. I've preached on this, and I've heard people tell me they've given messages in tongues. There's some Native Americans there who understood the language. Completely biblical, Acts 2, right? But then there's sometimes we don't, but the speaker didn't understand what he was saying. So it's foreign to us. It's a mystery. We don't construct the sentences, form the words, or think the thoughts in that language. And because we don't do that, it's completely like a shock to our system. The tongues that come to us come by our body, by our spirit, not our body, by our spirit being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is that simple. Now, we can complicate this, or we can keep it nice and simple. I'm 66. I'm at that place where simple is good. And I'm sure there's many of you who can join me in that. Now, I want to read from Acts 2, okay? So we're going to read from verse 5 to verse 11. But you know this story. The day of Pentecost comes. The 120 are in the upper room. There's a bunch of guys there and gals. And the Holy Spirit fills them, and they begin to emit this sound. And it is so loud that thousands of people gather below. How many of you have been to Israel, Jerusalem? Any of you? I can tell you, along the streets where the markets are, there's just people everywhere. It's like a scene right out of Casablanca, if you've ever seen that movie, okay? And I'm aging. I'm if you don't want to nod, you don't have to if you've seen it. That's okay. But it's very Eastern. Everyone's walking down there. People are hawking, selling stuff. But this sound is so loud that crowds of thousands gather, okay? So the fire, the wind has happened. Now we come to verse 5. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation that gathered for Pentecost. When they heard this sound, the Greek word is phonos. That's where our word phonograph comes from. They heard a sound, okay? A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Somehow they recognize them. Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, so forth. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Now, if you summarize it, it looks like this. When they heard a sound, verse 6, a crowd came together. Each one heard them speaking in his own language, number 1. Again, verse 8, we hear them in his own language, number 2. And then again in verse 11, in our own languages, we hear them declaring the wonders of God. 3 times they state this. But I want you to watch how this develops. That's what's really interesting. So I'm going to move to the next slide. Is that okay? Everyone good? Okay. I want to leave time for questions because I know people have a lot of questions about this subject. So here's what happens. They hear a sound. There's this general sound. If you've ever been to a busy airport and you a bunch of planes exit and there's, you know, hundreds of people walking down the terminal, thank you. You just stand against a wall, close your eyes. Don't do that in Detroit. Close your eyes and just listen. What you will hear is sound. You won't hear individual voices. You'll hear sound. Okay? So the first thing they heard is sound. But then it moved to this. They recognized the language. And then it moved to this. They understood what was being said. See, that's a process. Now, I explain that process like this. There's often a time lapse between our minds and what the Holy Spirit is doing. In Luke 24, 2 guys are walking down the road. Remember the story? The guy's going to Emmaus. And Jesus stops them, and they're kept from recognizing him. And they're like, they say, hey, what's going on? And they look at him like, what are you, from another planet? You know, the greatest thing ever happened. And they don't even know they're talking to Jesus. And they sit down, remembering the cafe, and they're talking. And finally, when Jesus leaves, they're like, hey, didn't our hearts burn? Oh my goodness, that was Jesus. There's a time lapse between our mind's ability sometimes to perceive what the Holy Spirit's doing. Now, 20 years ago, I'm on the island of Madagascar on a missions trip. Island off the southeast of a corner of Africa. We were there for, it was about 10 of us, Americans, and I was teaching on the Holy Spirit to pastors and their wives, and there was about 100 or so people, probably a group about this slide, but it was a long line, about 10 people, and then they had 10 rows. So I get done speaking, and I go back with the other Americans, and the superintendent stands up, and he's talking, and we're standing over there just being respectful because we don't understand the language, Malagasy. So we're just sitting there like this. They sing a song, and then they stop, and then I hear a voice. It's a woman's voice, and she's speaking loudly. And so they're over here, when I'm just, you know, being pious, and in the good sense. And all of a sudden, my eyes open up, and I look over, and I realize this woman's giving a message in tongues. And I realize that because the language she is speaking is English. Now you've got to understand, these are very poor people. Some of them rode bicycles from the jungles just to get to this thing. These are amazing people. And here's this poor woman. I run over there. You know, I want to take a picture of this. And my friend who's a missionary, he told me the interpretation was, you know, equal to the consistent with what she said. But the second language on that island is not English, it's French. They don't speak English there. I had just spoke for 45 minutes and she had no idea what she was saying. And so she's like, why is everyone looking at me? You know, she was just totally couldn't handle all this presence. And it's because she gave this tongue in English. Now, was it perfect? Pretty darn close. You would have understood it completely. Okay? So we'll take questions a little later, all right?
Oh, I did have a question.
Praise
the Lord.
Oh, you're praising the Lord. All right. Well, okay. You can do that in here. You do that out there, I got questions. Okay. So that 12-hour plane ride, 14-hour plane ride, that made it worth it, believe me. So I want to break this down into two systems. Note the catchy name, System A. Spent a lot of time thinking about that, all right? So System A, you should have this in your notes. I think you have it in your notes, don't you? Yeah. Okay, so System A is about known language. So it's the language. How many of you are bilingual? Okay, cool. You took another language, or you grew up another, but you're bilingual. All right, cool. So you're gonna be able to appreciate that, okay? So we're talking about known language. So your native tongue or another language you learned. All right, so maybe you learned French or German or something else when you were in high school. So here's what happens. We hear the sound of a word with which we are familiar. So I've been using words all this morning with which you're familiar, I assume. Okay, as that sound registers, we form an image, an idea, a reference point in our mind. If I say to you, hey, I like your new hair. What's the first thing you're thinking when I say that? I like your new what? Haircut, hairstyle. But don't get. It looks very nice. Don't change a thing. But I may be saying no. I'm not talking about the hair on your hair. I'm talking about your new rabbit. Right? Pronounced the same way, spelled differently. Or do you know Herr Johnson? You know, if you're German. I'm just saying, you went to the most common idea. Your hair. We all did, right? Nobody thought rabbit, did you? If you did, go to another class. We really don't want you in here. All right. So we got a reference point. The letters combine to form words, and meaning comes through how we've been taught to think since we were in grade school. Right? Cognitive process, boom, Western thinking, verb, subject, predicate, so forth. Now, as we mature, The distance between the sound of the word and the meaning shrinks. You know why? Familiarity. I don't have to sit here and talk so slow because we've used these words over and over again. We know what they mean, repetition. So that time shrinks. Now, when your child or grandchild says to you, Grandma, Grandpa, he hears a word he doesn't know, and he says, Grandpa, Grandpa, John, not yet, okay. Who's a grandpa in here besides me?
Grandma.
Your grandma? All right, that's cool. Grandma, what does that word mean? He hears this word, and he says, what does that word mean? Now, when he asks that, he's really asking, what meaning should I attach to that sound? If you break this down to the most basic, rudimentary form, that's what he's asking. He hears a sound, he doesn't recognize it, but he says word. Okay? Now, several years ago, in 2006, the University of Pennsylvania, one of the Ivy League schools, Division of Nuclear Medicine, Department of Radiology, conducted research on five women. Any of you ever hear about this study? Any of you familiar with this? A couple of you? No? Okay. You're praising the Lord too? All right. They conducted a study on five women who were Pentecostal and charismatic. Okay, this is in Philadelphia. And to see what changes were affected in cerebral activity as they sang in English and then switched to tongues. So they had all these monitors, thing, gizmos on them, you know. And through something called neuroimaging, they monitored blood flow to the brain. When the women transitioned from singing in English to speaking in tongues, the monitoring indicated a reduction in blood flow to the part of the brain that controls normal speaking. So in our brain, we have a thing that connects our thinking to our speaking. It's called the ventral sensory motor cortex, located in the front, left front, frontal lobe, and that's as technical as I get. So what it indicated is there was a loss of brain activity. It was less. And in my thinking, this is just Greg Kalivas, I can't prove this, but it seems to indicate to me that we believe, our belief that tongues does not emanate from our mind. It emanates from our spirit. See, because their conclusion, and I quote, was this: speaking in tongues is an unusual mental state. Interesting, isn't it? But we know biblically, tongues is not is not primarily a mental state, it's a spiritual state. And they couldn't move to that. Now, there are some mental considerations. Number one, do the tongues form in my mind? And number two, is it God speaking through me or am I speaking? Now, I got to tell you this because it's important. Whether it's speaking in tongues, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, or the ascension of Christ, there's mystery involved. Just imagine yourself there in Acts 1. The disciples are actually obeying Jesus once. Go to the upper room. And Jesus ascends in front of them. You think that's going to leave you a little, I don't know, questioning? John turns around. Jesus is there. John turns back around and he's gone. He says, Peter, where did he go? He says, don't ask me. He went that way. How did he do that? I have no idea. I mean, your mind's going to be blown a little bit. How many of you have ever seen a miracle in your life or witnessed a miracle? It kind of throws you down, doesn't it? I mean, it really is, whoa, this God stuff's real. Okay, so if you have to be able to accept that there's mystery. God does not reveal everything about himself. Right? Proverbs says it's for kings to look into a matter. It's for God to conceal a matter. It's like, oh, man. You know, just tell me this. Well, anyway, if you can't accept that there's mystery involved, you're gonna experience boatloads of frustration, because some people have tried to take the Holy Spirit and put it in theological Tupperware and say, here's everything you need to know. And excuse me, but the wind blows where it will. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going. Now here, I got a soapbox for 1 second. Here's a sad reality. One of the beautiful imitations of the wind is putting a fan on. And some churches sometimes turn on a bunch of fans to simulate the wind blowing and revival, and it's not. Because as soon as you turn the fans off, you get the same old thing. But when the wind blows, we're changed. Amen? I think we understand that. Now, I want to take a little survey here, and I want you to just be honest with me. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a second, but if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues immediately after, and by immediately I mean within the first 10 to 15 minutes of someone either praying for you or you praying, if you spoke in tongues immediately, raise your hand. We get some people in here? Okay. All right. Thank you. You spoke in tongues like an hour later, later that night, the next day, the next month, the next week. Raise your hand. Okay. Ginger, are you praising the Lord or are you answering the question? Okay. She's a sweetheart. So, if you were prayed for and received the Holy Spirit, or you asked God and you've not spoken in tongues yet, raise your hand. Look around. There's a number of you. You know what? I want to pray for you right now. Okay? I felt when I put this together, God wanted me to stop and just pray for you. Listen, first off, there's no condemnation. Okay, you may have a lot of problems, but this isn't one of them. I'm not here to judge you. Okay. No, listen. Whatever it is, the enemy does not want you to do this. And that is it doesn't get any more clear than that. But can we just bow our heads? And right now, Lord, I want to just take a moment to pray for those who've been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, but they've not spoken in tongues. And Lord, we know how beautiful this gift is, the layers of revelation it brings to our life, the doors it opens in spiritual worship and praise and prayer and ministry. So I ask just right now that you would remove every barrier in the spirits of these individuals, whatever they may be, and grant that they would be able to know this gift and go way beyond that. And Lord, for those in this room who have not been baptized in the Spirit yet, may Father, understanding precede faith, or faith precede understanding, whatever it takes. Just bless them that they might know the greatness of your gift. In Jesus' name, amen. This isn't in the notes, but this is why I think this is so important. Matthew 8, I believe. Jesus is talking in this guy's house, and there's no room left. So the guys bring the paralytic, you know. And obviously, they make the best second choice. The front, the side door's locked, so what do? They drill a hole in the roof, which any of us would do. And they lower this poor guy. And when Jesus sees this, he says what? When Jesus saw your faith, he says, your sins are forgiven, you're healed, get up, take your mat and go. Remember? All right, so the Pharisees, they're like, whoa, back off, Jack, because only God can forgive sins. Then Jesus says this, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and take your mat and walk? Now I'm asking you, which do you think is easier to say if you're Jesus? Your sins are forgiven? Why? Go on. No, that's not the reason. That's really bad. I'm just kidding you. It, because he's God, right. But there's another reason. Who said that? There's no proof. I can't prove to you. I can say you may have a subjective experience inside, feel all butterflies. I hope you weren't offended when I said that. Okay, good. Let's just praise the Lord. So, yeah, you can't prove it. It's purely subjective. But then watch what Jesus says. So that you may know the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, what does he say? Get up and walk. He gives a physical sign to prove an inward spiritual change. You got it?
Yes.
What is speaking in tongues? It's a sensory motion. It's a sensory action to show, to convince you, for you to hear your own testimony that you've been filled with the Spirit. That's how important it is. That's why the Assemblies of God can never say, well, you can be baptized with the Spirit, but tongues isn't important. No, it's part and parcel, whole package. Wrapping, box, gift. Boom, Bob's your uncle. Okay.
Rick, can you repeat that part? Physical.
It's a physical sign of an inward work. Just like healing, except it's touch. Okay. So I mentioned earlier that speaking in tongues is simultaneously supernatural, super rational, and natural. And when we say it's supernatural, we believe it's initiated as a result of being filled with the Spirit. I can't fill you with the Spirit. You can't fill yourself. It's an act of God. Now, if you know anything about language or English, and it took me a lot of years to figure this out, we have two voices, active and passive. Passive means that the subject receives the action. So God's doing the filling. Who's receiving? We are, the disciples. They received. They didn't fill themselves. Okay? Got it? All right. So when we say it's super rational, we're saying that the contact of the tongues isn't conceived in my mind, but in God's mind and proceeds forth from my spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with my mind and I will pray with my spirit. I will sing with my mind and I will sing with my spirit. If I'm singing with my spirit and you don't understand what I'm saying, you're a foreigner to me and I'm not doing any good to you. So it comes from our spirit. He says, you can do it. The natural here is then I'm doing the actual speaking. This is an already God-given ability. In fact, a friend of mine, her and her husband pastored up in Crosby many, many years ago. And her husband was a pastor and she was leading the youth. And one night she was praying for youth to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was a mute girl there who, when she was prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. She didn't speak otherwise, but she could speak in tongues. Mystery? Yeah. I think we're together on that. So listen, when it says they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues, that's active. So now, John's filled with the Spirit, he begins to speak. But in Greek, there are three voices. There's not only active and passive, and I'm sorry for this lesson, but it's kind of important. There's a middle voice. And the middle voice is when the subject does the action to himself. In other words, you say, I clothed myself. As opposed to, I went to the nursing home and had to clothe my ailing grandfather or whatever. Follow? I receive the action. Now, the word began, and they began to speak in tongues, is middle voice in Greek, which means it's reflexive. Meaning, they themselves began to speak in tongues. Now, there was no one else in the upper room except 120, and they all spoke. So the point is that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will do the speaking. God's not going to move your mouth. I just want you, it's so important that you get that. I don't want you to be, because sometimes people are afraid. You know, they're just, it's too much for them, and they kind of get shy. And if you're a shy person, that's fine. God's not going to turn you into some, you know, nut. And if you're not, I say that, you know, to all the love of Jesus, God's not going to change your personality either. Okay? You're going to be who you are, but you're going to speak in tongues, and it's going to be cool, and it's going to be different, but you're still going to be you. Okay? So it's just kind of important to understand that all of this really is supernatural. Because the limitations we have came because of the fall of man. So to understand beyond that is a gift of God. And of course, seeing, hearing, speaking, God gave them to us. So it's all supernatural, but if you break it down, it looks kind of cool on a slide too, and it gives me a little bit more time to talk about it. So that's why I do that. When a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial speaking in tongues happens almost unconsciously. In fact, I was praying for a young lady. I shared this with a couple yesterday from Hutchinson a few months ago. And very shy girl. She talked like this. Could hardly hear her talk. Very shy. And I said, she came up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I prayed for her and then just, you know, was watching. And in about a minute or so, she starts flowing in a language. I've been doing this for 40 years, 44 years. I've never heard anything like it in my life. I stopped her after a minute and said, "Have you ever done this before?" It was just so wild. She said, "No." I said, "Just go down there and keep going until God tells you to stop." My wife, most spiritual person I know, was baptized in the Spirit at kids camp at the Wisconsin Bible camp. One sound, one word. She speaks in tongues fluently today. Don't ever judge your experience next to somebody else's. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. That's not good. So I'm just saying that for some people it happens unconsciously, Acts 2, 10, and 19. But you know, when Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, a guy named Ananias was sent to pray for him to do two things. Remember what they were? Heal his eyes, which were what? Healed. Remember? The scales fell off. What was the second thing he prayed for him about? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It does not say Paul spoke in tongues immediately. And it is best not to presume upon Scripture and assume that he did. It's okay as long as you say, "I'm assuming this." But it doesn't say he did, doesn't say he didn't. But he did eventually, right? 1 Corinthians 14, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." For those of you who it's been a struggle to do that, you have someone who's very important in the Bible. His name's Paul, who had apparently a similar experience. So don't worry, okay? Can I say that? Don't worry. Don't fret. After the first time a person speaks in tongues, God wants them to develop. So we move from Acts to 1 Corinthians 14. God wants you to realize you can now begin to pray in tongues whenever you like. I pray in tongues nearly every day, sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for 20, sometimes for 10. I just try to do it every day. So what happens is this. How do I get from, well, speaking one word in tongues to, you know, fluently speaking? Well, think of it like this. In John 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he tells her, "If you're thirsty, you can drink, and what will happen in you? There'll be a little fountain that will well up to eternal life." And how many of you realize that well, that fountain never stops, right? I mean, isn't it just blow your mind? Eternal life. Here's this gift we have, and it never stops. That water never stops. Your salvation never gets old. But then he says in John 7, "If you're thirsty," Jesus said, "come to me, and from you will flow what? Of living water." And then John says, by this he meant the Holy Spirit, which had not yet been poured out yet. So this little bubbling spring somehow comes rivers flowing out of you. Tongues, prophecy, gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry God's put in your heart, sharing your testimony, witnessing, singing, if you have that gift. If you don't, be an usher. And if you can't usher, try singing. Little humor there. Very little humor there. So I'm just saying, God wants it to become a practical part of your life. Why? Because tongues does something. It brings to us this level of praise that we don't know. It brings to us an ability to intercede. How many of you have found yourselves facing a situation, a crisis? You started praying in English, you didn't know what to do, and you just started praying in tongues. Let me see your hands. Yeah. You know what? You don't know what you're saying, but you know why you're saying it. And that's all that matters. Because what's happening is God is relieving the anxiety of your heart. I have physically felt that when I prayed in tongues on one occasion. Physically felt anxiety removed from my body. So that's kind of cool, and it's cheaper than drugs. Let's talk about System B. Now we're going to talk about unknown language that's unlearned. Okay? Unlearned. So So we hear the sound, but there's no familiarity. Okay? Our mind begins to look for an image, an idea, a reference point, because that's what we've been trained to do. Immediately, when you don't understand something, it's like your mind is looking, is a computer, and it's looking for a file. Oops, don't have that one. So we call up, you know, somebody who's somebody else. No association is made between the sound of the word and its meaning. Because we can't form the sound into a word, it's foreign to us. It's foreign to us. Now, I had a guy tell me a story from up in Moorhead, preached up there several years ago, taught up there, and this guy was telling me he was at a prayer meeting with two Catholic charismatic priests. How many of you remember the charismatic movement? Catholics, Lutherans, some cool stuff. And these two priests and him were praying. And these two guys had been close friends, but this issue of tongues was getting contentious because one believed in it and one didn't. And so finally they just, well, let's pray. And as they were praying, the guy who's telling me the story, who I think is a pretty solid guy, started speaking in tongues. And then kind of realized what he was doing. He didn't want to, you know, offend the other priest. But he stopped after he kind of consciously realized. And the priest who didn't believe in tongues was in tears. Because he was a missionary, and that was the language of the people to whom he was sent to speak.
Wow.
It was in Micronesia. And the language was this, listen, tick, tick, tock, tock, tick, 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 tock, tock, tick, tick. That was it. There are undoubtedly all sorts of languages in the world, and none are without meaning. Now, listen, babbling is different than that. I told you about babbling at the beginning. Babbling meaningless sounds is something, and I don't know how many of you will be familiar with this word, but it's called ululating. Any of you heard that word before? Oh, wow. Young scholar, okay, a couple scholars over here. It means to make sounds like animals, inanimate objects. And in the ancient world, at the time of Corinth, they worshipped the Corinthians there, they worshipped the god Dionysus. And they would imitate the sound of tongues because they were drunk, and I can't go into all of it, but they were just crazed. They were mostly women called menads, called mad ones. And they would make these noises, like war chants and that. And it sounded like tongues. That's what scholars have written. Now, let me tell you something. I'm Greek, and my mother's family's from south of Corinth. So I'm of the opinion that these Corinthians, they weren't really natural Greeks. They were snowbirds from Sweden, Norway, other countries. They came down to Corinth. They tried to assimilate. And we said, get out of here because you're crazy. We don't want you doing that. No. I waited all week to share that. So when you're being baptized in the Spirit, this is what I tell people. You're going to hear sounds in your spirit. And people, when I say that to them, they're like, well, that's cool. When you do, speak them out. The problem is those sounds are so weird. I had a 12-year-old boy. I'm praying for him in Sunday school class. And I said, I prayed for him. I said, Nathan, you're going to hear these sounds. And when you do, speak them out. And so I said, waited a minute. I said, Nathan, did you hear anything? He goes, yeah, I did. I said, why don't you speak them out? He goes, you know, kids are just so straight up, right? Oh, those were just too weird. And I, you know, it's like, this is a Holy Spirit moment. I realized this kid is kind of walking on it. And I said, Nathan, did you hear me speak those sounds when I prayed? He said, no. Did I say any of those before class? He goes, no. I said, Nathan, did you think those sounds this morning? No. I said, Nathan, do you think maybe God's answering your prayer? He goes, oh. Yeah. And he spoke in tongues. I've had that happen more than one occasion. People get afraid. But I want to assure you, we say, well, what if I'm not sure that's from God? If you're praying and you're walking with God, he's not going to lead you astray. Some demon come in and manifest. No. If you're willing to trust God with your family, then trust the God who lives in you. Amen? Those sounds are from him. This is what happened in Acts, too. They spoke those sounds, and out they came. So let me conclude this, and then we'll take time for questions. If I try to figure out this system, using that system, you're going to be frustrated because the mind can't do it. Okay, so here's what happens. Now I've got this great illustration, and my wife said it's a great illustration, so pay attention. You're this 15, 16-year-old girl, Jewish girl, and you're walking down the street one day, and everything's cool, and you're just happy, and all of a sudden, this angel stops you, starts talking to you, and he says, Mary, guess what? You're going to have a child. And through the conversation, Mary says, how can that be? I'm a virgin. Meaning, I know how babies come into this world. Okay? I know how they're conceived. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and goes into his explanation. And she, anything's possible with God, may it be to me as you have said. And she goes on her way, and she's skipping. She's just elated because this angel has met her. And then 10 minutes later, she stops skipping and goes, oh, 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 oh my. Why is she saying that? Because now she's got to tell who? She's got to tell Joe. So she gets on the phone. Says, Joe, meet me at Caribou. I got to tell you something. And the first thing she says, of course, is, I love you. I was walking down the road, and this angel met me and said, I'm going to have a child. Now, Joseph's a godly man, right? He hears the story. He gets up, pays the bill, walks out the restaurant, and he goes like this. My parents told me she was a wackadoodle. I should have just... something nutty about this girl. I should have married the other girl. And why does he say that? Because he knows how babies are conceived. Natural process. Now, what happens to Joseph? An angel comes to him. To this godly man in his renewed mind who can't believe this girl's telling the truth. And says, Joseph, you need to believe Mary because a child's going to be born to her. And what happens? He believes. Revelation from the Holy Spirit to that renewed mind changed everything. You follow? And when that happens, friends, when that happens, I'm more equipped to flow in spiritual gifts. When I let the revelation of the Holy Spirit speak to me, I can serve more conscious of His leading. This is what 1 Corinthians 2 is about. And I'll minister spirit baptism to others with greater insight. So I'm going to stop there. We've got 10, 12 minutes. And to just if you have some questions, we'll take some questions. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a quick comment about fear.
Fear, yeah.
So we used to do foster care. And the first time I stopped myself, so I had not spoken in tongues, but I felt it was coming.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Two things on that. Yeah, I don't know if you all heard it, but that's tough. She had kids, foster kids, felt like praying in tongues, but stopped it twice. And once. And felt like if she would have done it, maybe that would have ministered to them. And I would say two things to that. One, that may have been the case. But two, if those tongues wouldn't have been interpreted, When uninterpreted tongues come, they can leave people wondering. They can go, wow, that's cool. Or they can go, I want to get out of here. So you might have done the right thing. I don't know, but I'll certainly pray if there's any condemnation, it goes away. Yeah, John.
Kind of bring the familiarity with unfamiliarity. And then talk about the undulating the battle and stuff, where we may be familiar with particular language mm-hmm. that we've heard before, versus an unfamiliar one that we haven't heard before, but recognize the language pattern.
Yep.
Versus the undulating, which is the babble.
Mm-hmm.
So is that, do those thoughts correlate?
No, undulating is...
No, I mean as far as familiar, unfamiliar. Recognizing whether it's a legitimate tongue or not. Movement of the tongues.
Tongue, if it was tongues, you would not recognize the language.
Right, but I would possibly recognize the language pattern.
Maybe
it is an actual language.
You can be certain of that it is a language. Not everyone will recognize the pattern. You may. It just depends how skilled you are in language. You know, if you're more skilled, that may be the case. Does that answer your question? Because I'm not sure what the question was.
Well, let's see. You know,
that's what we do as teachers.
We answer questions,
and we don't know if it was the right. Things.
I don't speak German, but I know what German sounds like.
Yes, yes.
But
so that wouldn't be a tongue that God would give you.
Right.
Right.
But you know, German has a language pattern. English has a language pattern.
Yeah.
Dutch has a language pattern. You know, I can recognize those that language. I'm not fluent in anything else or anything like that. So when an unfamiliar tongue, you know, that I'm not familiar with at all.
Would that be ululating? Is that what you're asking?
Well, no. The differentiating between ululating versus that's a language, because I recognize a pattern, you know, that, you know.
There would be no pattern to ululating. It would just be sounds.
Right.
Give us an example.
Of?
Ululating.
Well, okay. What some of those women would do... is they would make sounds like dogs barking, howling, hooting. In Greek, the word is, I can't remember the word, but it's inanimate object sounds. Cats make, dogs make.
So it's no language.
No, it's no language at all.
So if it's language, you're good.
Yes.
If you're howling and barking, not so much.
You're gone. All yeah. Right. That would be demonic or human or a neurotic problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
So can I follow up on that real quick? Where there's an unfamiliar tongue, unfamiliar language, and then the interpretation, I would say the interpretation matches a similar pattern to that language, so it matches up.
It may, yeah. It may. But if I'm like that tick, tick, tock, I may not be familiar with the construction of how that goes, but I can still get the message that God's trying to say in English. So, any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Okay, we'll go here, here, and then here.
Why do you think sometimes there's that difference? God knows, but where some people speak immediately after versus like a long period of time after?
And your question is?
Why
is it that some people speak immediately and some later? After 40 years, I can say I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea. It might have a lot to do with what's going on in your life. If you're struggling with condemnation, you're going to be condemned in this area. Otherwise, so for some people, it's just, oh, that snapped. Something became clear. You know, I really don't know why. It's as individual as a person, I think. I don't know if that helps, but...
Do you recommend some further reading? And I'm one of those people that, you know, I didn't at first, and I'm not sure, but what is this? I don't know if it's me, or am I just babbling, or can anybody understand this? You know, I do this in private. Like, upstairs, I'm Mormon, so I can hear, right? When everybody else is, you know, practicing or you know, using it, and so I need to be sure. In that condemnation you just said, that's probably it for me, right?
Well,
it could be an answer. Yeah, I'll accept that as an answer for me. And So I'm asking, you know, further readings so I can study more on this.
Yeah.
We want to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. So is there like a formulary how do you do this, or do I just do what people?
Yeah. First off, further books to read. That's in my other notebook, which I didn't bring because it was too heavy. Seriously, it was too much to carry. I have other books. If you come up to me afterwards and give me your email, I'll send them to you. Secondly, if you're around a bunch of people and you don't know if there's an interpreter present, you should always pray in tongues quietly. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, 23. If there's no interpreter present, pray to yourself and God. Do it quietly. Because that will not build that person up because they don't understand what you're saying. So that's not a matter of fear. Now, if God gives you a message to speak out, there's a whole procedure to go through. I'm not covering that today because I just covered this stuff. But I do teach on this more in some churches. So, yeah, that's my answer. But again, if you give me your email, I'll send them to you. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Was she healed?
No.
She went back?
Yep. She just spoke in tongues.
The other question is, I've been in service and it seems like people just flip a switch and they're speaking in tongues and they turn it off. I mean, it doesn't seem real, or is it real? Or when you become accustomed to speaking tongues, can you do it that fast?
Yes. Now, that question's got a lot more loaded to it than I can answer. If they're just speaking out loud in a service, interrupting it, that's wrong.
Yeah.
If they're doing it quietly, unobtrusively, respectfully, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I speak in tongues, I pray in English, I think about something else, I come back to tongues. You know, it's just, that's, a lot of us are just different. Yeah, we go like this. Yeah. There's intertwining. Nothing is like that. One second, this lady. Ma'am, did you have a question?
Just kind of the edge to hold back because I don't know what people around me going to say or feel about me, and I just hold it back. So
just do it quietly. You can just do it quietly. You can pray in tongues quietly, just like you would talk to your child, trying to put him to sleep quietly. Just do it quietly. Did you hear what she said? She felt the urge to speak in tongues sometimes, but was wondering how people would respond. Just pray in tongues quietly. You can pray under your breath. Several times done that, hundreds of times. And it's just as powerful because God's still getting the message. Tongues are directed to Him in prayer. That's what matters. Somebody had you had a hand up. And then we'll go back there. And then we got, 2 minutes? Okay, yeah.
For those who have been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit but have not spoken in tongues, what would be your recommendation moving forward to work on getting tongues?
Yeah, I would just say, read the passages in Acts 2, 9, 10, 19. Read 1 Corinthians. And, you know, just, Holy Spirit, is there something I'm doing that's creating a problem here? If not, I believe He will give you sounds. But you have to act in faith then. You know, you have to act in faith and speak it out. There's a measure of trust that's involved in this. Sometimes understanding precedes trust. Sometimes trust precedes understanding. So I don't know if that helps, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody over... Oh, this gentleman did.
So the first time I spoke in tongues, it felt very automatic, like right away when I had the Holy Spirit come down and baptize me. Incredible feeling, of course. But since then, like, I've been afraid to speak in tongues. I've been told, hey, you can do whatever you want, out of fear that, well, it doesn't feel like it's automatic anymore. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, and it shouldn't feel automatic anymore. Any more than every time you wake up and quote a scripture or serve God, you're going to feel what you did the moment you were saved. That's part of maturing. So you still want to do it. Here, and then we'll be done, huh? Okay.
Should I maybe say something to that a little bit?
Yeah.
I don't think out every sound at this point. You know, once you start speaking in tongues consistently, you don't think about the sound necessarily before it actually proceeds out of your mouth. Same way as I don't think about the sounds that I'm saying right now before they come out of my mouth.
Well, don't mess anything up then. Because that's not a good thing to say. Yeah, that's...
But I mean, to an extent.
Can we get that on tape, please?
Of every individual sound before right. It flows. So I think there is a level of... It does become automatic, but you choose to do it.
To do it. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Thank you. And this young man.
In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For this reason, the one who speaks in tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say." And I'm curious to know, maybe you have the answer, maybe not, but what does interpretation look like? Does the Holy Spirit reveal to you? And I don't know if you have that answer, but I'm just trying to understand what the interpretation looks like, whether it's like a vision or...
Sure. Everyone hear that? So first off, this is referring to a public setting, church setting, where there's people, a tongue comes out loud. If you give that, you're to pray for the interpretation. Doesn't mean you have to give it, but it can come in the form of words that someone, you're in that service, and all of a sudden thoughts come to you in English. All right, but they weren't there before he started speaking in tongues. It's likely that's a interpretation or maybe a word of wisdom or word of knowledge. And it'll be a message. It might be an idea that God says, step out, speak. And you just say what he says, don't add. But it may be just as simple as these thoughts that come to you that weren't there previously. You weren't thinking them before. So does that help?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we need to close up. If you're interested, I'll be talking about the gift of prophecy in 15 minutes.